I know you've got your Bible, and thank God for America, I guess, because of the 4th of July. Of course, around here, I know you love this country, and I do too. You're not going to burn a flag around this preacher, because I'll shoot you, amen? And I'm not going to have it, amen. We had a radio station down there. His name's Bernie Thompson. He was a captain in the U.S. Air Force. He got out, got into radio down in South Florida, and he really is big time nowadays, but it was news talk radio, and he had a whole thing one day when we were at the boys' home teaching school, and I heard about it, and so I tuned it in during school, and they had a whole thing about how it's right and okay and protected to burn a flag in our country. Well, no, it's not. You haven't read the Constitution. You misinterpreted it, just like they go around saying the separation of church and state. That was a letter that Jefferson Davis wrote. That's not in the Constitution. God never said, the framers of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, it does not say to keep God out of the government. It says to keep the government out of the house of God. Amen. Amen. See, that's more of that stuff people hear and they don't check it out. Amen. And that's what I grew up believing, but that's not so. That was a personal letter that was written. It was never put down as law. But anyhow, folks in Washington, D.C., most of them can't read. Amen. Ain't got no sense, half of them. Ain't got the sense God gave a doorknob. But anyhow, I ain't going to get into all that. I'll leave all that stuff alone this morning. I'm just glad to be an American. Thank God for the red, white, and blue. I'd still fight for this country, amen. And like I told you earlier, if you don't like the way she's run, you can go plenty of places you can go live, amen. And a lot of those folks that said they were going to leave the country because they don't like the way things are going, they're still living here. I don't understand that, amen. Get out, go to China, live on rice three times a day and leave this preacher alone. But anyhow, okay, Jude chapter, we only got one chapter in Jude. It's a short book. Go to Jude, if you will, right before Revelations, toward the end of the Bible. And it's a very, very interesting book here. It's got 25 verses. You can read it in 4 or 5 minutes, but it's loaded, amen. And Jude, God said here in verse 1, as you're turning to Jude, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, and thank God it's for the common man. And I told you earlier in 1 John, my life verse is 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, 12, and 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's a no-so salvation. K-N-O-W. You either know or you don't. You either have him or you don't. There's no two ways about it. And it says over there in 1 Peter that we're all the children of God. The world quotes half of that verse, but they forget the part, by faith in Christ Jesus. So it's in him, amen. And you all know the verses. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Paul tells us that he was the chiefest of sinners. And anyhow, God wrote this. It's a love letter from heaven's what this book is. It's a holy book. It's called the Holy Bible. Amen. It's still on the Supreme Court doors as of we speak. Those big old gigantic doors still have inscribed the Ten Commandments. It's still on the Dome Capitol. We got to go to D.C. a year ago. First time I've ever been. I've been through there preaching, but never stopped and looked at anything. And we do have a rich history. And, of course, they're rewriting the history books. They don't want you to really know what went on a few years ago. And they're changing the face of this country. And it's sad because I don't know that you can stop it. Amen. We're in the last days. And, God, there's nowhere in this book where America's anything big in prophecy. You'd be hard-pressed to find her at the end of this thing. But I promise you it's a big deal. Amen. And so it's coming. It's coming. It's sad to say, but it's coming. But anyhow, in Jude, as we're reading down through here, he says this, beloved, verse 3, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith. That word contend implies a fight versus somebody. Amen. And God said this faith that he's delivered unto us is worth fighting for. Amen. And it just seems like nobody wants to fight for it anymore. But verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now that word, old English word lasciviousness, is talking about loose living. Just do whatever. Amen? The government teaches situational ethics. And what that is whatever you feel like doing, it's okay to do. You make the rule book as the day goes along and it's okay. Well, that don't fly. Yeah. If you don't believe that, get rid of all the stop signs, the yield signs. Yeah. Here in Jacksonville for the next 2 weeks, everybody wants to run wide open. Okay, we'll kill the stoplights. We'll tell the police to take a week off. Everyone can run wide open. We'll see how many people gets hurt or gets killed. Yeah. Amen. Right. Rules are a blessing. Right. They're a bulwark in that Bible. Yes. They're a protective. They're a fence to keep you from things. Amen. Listen, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient, amen? And listen, young people, you better thank God if you got a mom and dad that cares enough about you to put the rod of correction on you, amen? Yeah. I done told you in Sunday school, Mr. Eney's whipped me 5 times my senior year. Don't come tell me it's going to mess your psychic up. If that's the case, I'm crazy. Because I got whipped all the blooming time, and I get it. I had it coming, amen? I missed a whole lot that I should have got. Matter of fact, I told my mom something we did yesterday. I told her yesterday the little thing we had, something that I did that she knew nothing about. And she just looked at me, really? So there's a whole lot of things mom doesn't know, amen? And it's okay because it's under the blood. That was B.C., before Christ, amen? So I get a free pass on all that stuff. And what she doesn't know won't hurt her, and that's the best thing anyhow, because women are different than men. I mean, you women say you're over something, but then when something goes south 5 years later, you bring it up, amen? And so you're never over it, amen? So I've learned all that, and I ain't going to try to figure her out because there's no figuring out a female, and the female ain't going to figure the man out. But one thing I do know, I know I'm a man. I don't have a problem with which restroom I'm supposed to go to. Amen. I mean, this world, you go, they still got little signs up showing the male from the female. It's called a distinction in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Amen. And so God made me a man on purpose. It wasn't an accident. It was on purpose. And I like my wife. I like the way she smells, the way she looks, the way she walks. Amen. I like everything about her. And I like putting my hands on her. Amen. I'm allowed to do that. It's legal. Amen. I didn't marry her so I could live on the other side of the house, amen. You guys are crazy if you believe that stuff, amen. I call myself a mama's boy. That's mama. I am a mama's boy, amen. And so I enjoy the company of my lovely lady that God gave me, and she's a wonderful blessing. Okay, in Jude here, I want to talk to you about holy faith. And we'll skip down through there. But verse 5, let's go ahead and grab that. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. So the preacher reminds them, this is something I'm fixing to tell you that you should already know. In fact, you did know it, but they've shelved it. They've put it aside. He says, verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this. What's that? How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So he goes down through and begins to give a list of things that God judged Israel for when they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Be sure your sin will find you out. Hey, young people, listen, for God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's bound. This world's bound by that law. You can't get rid of it, amen? There's consequences for the choices that we make, good and bad, okay? So he goes down through here and he begins to remind, Jude wants to remind these folks what's going to happen or what did happen, and the same thing's going to happen again if we don't listen. And he says, verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, if you read back in Genesis, that's talking about Cain who killed his brother Abel. And then he mentions the heir of Balaam. Of course, you know that Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. Won't get into all that. That's over in Genesis. Then he mentions the gainsaying of Korah, another fellow that got in trouble with God and wound up in hell. And so, but that's not what I'm going to preach on. Let's drop down now, if you will, verse 15. To execute judgment upon all, that's everybody, whoever fits that bill here, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration. Now here you go, because of advantage. That's real prevalent in our country today. That's you showing favor behind, that's just working deals behind the scene. Favor of man, payoffs, extortion, you fill in the blank to get your way. You know, move up the ladder in the company by running folks over, doing them wrong. All that stuff goes on all the time. And God's not impressed with it, amen. He says, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. There's the Holy Ghost of God. And listen, the book says, if you have not his Spirit, ye are none of his. Amen. When you get born again, God said in Ephesians 2:1 that, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So, and then, matter of fact, in Ephesians 1, just hold your spot right there. I don't want to misquote it, but that Holy Ghost of God is an earnest payment. You know, you talk to bankers, it's a down payment that God gave you. This is really neat what God does. I'll read it to you, Ephesians chapter 1. And Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, that's talking about Jesus Christ in verse 12, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There he is, which is, here it comes, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of his glory. So that Holy Ghost of God took up residence inside of you. If you're saved, young person, talking about a football, he quickens your spirit when you get saved. It's made alive, and the Holy Ghost takes up residence on the inside of you, on the inside of that soul. Colossians 2 says it's an operation made without hands and putting off the sins of the body of the flesh. It's called a in cutting away. God quickens that spirit. He seals that soul until the day of redemption. So that Holy Ghost of God is a down payment to let you know that the Lord's coming back. Whether you go the way of all the earth, you just get old and die, or, which to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, or you're alive in the translation of the saints, the rapture of the church takes place, and you go up alive, bodily, and get you a new body all in the twinkling of an eye, amen? Either way, God didn't leave us alone. He left his spirit behind, and it takes up residence inside of you. That's why, young people, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, physical, and your spirit, which are God's. Just like you buy a car and you pay it off, you got the owner, you got the title to it. God's got the title to your life if you're saved. You ain't got a right to do what you want. You got a right to submit to the Holy Ghost of God and to that book and live a clean life for the Lord. Amen. Folks got this thing messed up. You don't own anything. We don't own anything anyhow. If you don't pay your taxes, they take everything. We never own nothing. Amen. It's just it's a rat race. Amen. It's all it is, a rat race. We just got a home and the dumb thing's done, got seven things wrong with it. I mean, the guys that built it over-tightened the drains on all five sinks and they're all cracked. What kind of monkey does that? I mean, it's not a head on a 429 boss that needs to be torqued, you know, to 300 inch pounds. I don't understand that, man. And you look at stuff, I'm like, were they smoking dope? Were they drunk when they built this house? I mean, I don't get that, man. That stuff, I just get so aggravated. I should have done it myself, is what I should have done. Then I could have got mad at myself when something wasn't right, amen? But anyhow, that's how it goes. You pay for something, it's junk the first day you move into it, amen? It's crazy. And it ain't paid for either. That's the bad part, you know? But, okay, we're going to talk about holy faith. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's in Hebrews 10:22. Let me say this. In Acts chapter 11, verse 24, you know what it says about Barnabas, one of God's preacher men? For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the church. Now, what I was reading there in Jude, let me go back and finish my text verse. You're all sitting right there waiting on me. In Jude there, and verse 20 and 21 is where I'm going to preach out of. But ye, talking to God's people that know the Lord this morning, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I do certainly appreciate this book. Thank you for your precious mercy and grace on me. Thank God I'm saved and know it. I sure am glad that I met you that day many years ago. Seems like yesterday, really. It flew by. I pray you'll bless now. These folks need to hear from you, not me. We sure need you. We're a needy people in need of a lot of help. And the Lord, we love you. God, help us. I pray old time conviction. The Holy Ghost of God have his will and way here this morning. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen. Holy faith. Three things I want to give you. I want to say this before I get into the first thing. Your faith in Christ should be 100% real to you. It should be, amen? And Barnabas here, that should be the norm, okay? It should be the norm, amen? God's not a respecter of persons. Never has been, never will be. You can have as much of God as you want, okay? When you get saved, you're in Christ. You can't get any, it says you're part of his bone, of his flesh, and of his body in Ephesians. You can't get any closer than that as far as your eternity. But in the nasty now and now, your daily walk, like you showed up here this morning on purpose, that's up to us, amen? And you can have, you young men can go as far for God as you want or as least as you want. And nowadays, it's a smorgasbord restaurant for Christianity. They go down and pick and choose what they want, amen? And they leave off the stuff that they don't like, that they don't get along with, amen? That's how we're built. But that book, God said, Paul said, he shall not declare the whole counsel of God. Amen. And so as a Christian, God said our holy faith, it's to build. It's a lifelong process. And the longer you're saved, the closer it ought to get as far as your walk with the Lord. I talk a lot about the military. I love the military. Still do. Amen. But your situational awareness, your 6 o'clock, your 3 o'clock, your 9 o'clock, you folks ought to be what you ought to work at is the fact that having the knowledge as you go through your day from the time you get up, that your conscience aware that God's around. Now, I know we say we know that, but the life you're living is the life you're teaching. Amen. Nobody's perfect. No one bats a thousand. Come live with me. Ask my kids and wife. They'll tell you. They give you a whole laundry list of things. Anybody can do that. But your conversation of life, that holy faith that Jude delivered there, it's getting wrecked today. Folks really don't think it's important anymore. They really don't put a real big price on it, amen? When old-timers, man, I'm just telling you. I mean, a lot of these preachers, when they're dead and gone, everybody loves them to death. You take Lester Rowe off. You ought to read his autobiography. And that's what we patterned our boys home after. Brother Roloff was a man's man. Brother Roloff was God's man. And Brother Roloff preached against everything, including your Pepsi Cola. Now, people love him now. But they hated him when he was alive. And we all act like we liked him when he showed up. But really, the truth of the matter is, we just tolerated it until we could get away from him. Amen. And them old-time preachers had it, man. Well, God hadn't changed. You can have the same God he had, amen. But it's going to be a sacrifice. And most people are not willing to pay the price of what it's going to cost you to be different like Daniel, amen. I mean, listen, Daniel said, that book says Daniel was of an excellent spirit. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the only 3 men that said they didn't even have to pray about it. They said, God's going to deliver us, but if he don't, it ain't changing one iota. We ain't doing what you said, amen. And you don't like it, throw us in the fire. Whatever happened to that kind of grit? I mean, young men today, we're talking about a holy faith I'm fixing to get into, and the first point is no faith. Now, I'm going to show you in the context over here where some of God said, he was looking at a group of people that was supposed to be his, and he said, in children in whom is no faith. They acted like they were not an agnostic, but what's the other one that don't believe in God? Atheists. Now, how dumb is that? They spend millions of dollars a year to prove there's no God. Well, if there's no God, why are you wasting your money on that? If you don't believe there's a God, go do what you're going to do and leave me alone. I tell you why it hair lips you, and you put your lip out and suck your thumbs, because you know what I got's what you need. See, one thing you ain't going to take from this preacher is the fact that I know I'm saved. I was there when I got saved. And I know what God did for me. Amen? You ain't taking that from me. And I done read that book too many times too to know that's not the Word of God. You ain't taking that King James Bible from me either. Amen? Those are fighting words. Amen? And I just know what it's done for my family. And it's been everything to this family of ours. And it's kept us afloat and kept us on the straight and narrow, amen, in spite of all the stuff that we've gone through. And listen, it's worth it, young people. But number one, I want to say no faith. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to take you to a place in Scripture where God's man Moses gets after God's people. And look at what the Lord says to these people. And he's talking to his children. You say, I can't get that way. Sure you can. Sure you can. You'll get to the place where you act like God don't even exist anymore. Do your own thing, your own way. Wonder why it falls apart, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 32. It's just a fight nowadays. The traveling we get to do, I still preach in New Mexico and get to preach down in Florida and far as local churches and some youth rallies and stuff. And I don't have as many means as I used to because folks just don't like preaching anymore. They just don't. And all those years we had a boys' home, I really needed a home for parents. Kids are just doing what they're allowed to do, amen. And mom and dad, and then they'd come to our home and they'd get saved and they start memorizing Scripture, and all of a sudden they flip their life completely around. And the parents would show up 4 months later and do a week-long visit, and they'd come to us. And I kid you not, if I had a recorder, I could play it for you. They'd look us in the eye and say, you fixed him too much. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time. We wanted him fixed, but we didn't want him fixed that much. You know what the kids were doing? Exposing light on the parents now. Showing the fracture. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm a parent. I know I've made thousands of mistakes. But let's just be real. I'm not going to change the book. I'm not going to lower the standard to where we're living. No. The preacher's supposed to keep the bar high. We're all supposed to keep the bar high. That's the only guide on that you've got to keep you from going wayward. You know, the lighthouse in the storm? The only way the man can find the land is to follow that light as it spins around. You take it, turn it off, he's going to get cast about and destroyed. Why would you change the standard? Crazy, man. That's because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judges 21:25. Folks hate this book. The problem's not, it's not a problem with the preacher. If you're mad at your preacher, it's not the preacher's fault. You're mad at God. You don't like what God said, amen. I didn't write thou shalt not commit adultery. But yet you could go to D.C. and every one of them mess around with their interns. Probably 80% of them. They need the devil preached out of them. They actually need more than that. They need somebody to take a leather strap to them. You got your family and kids. When I was in the military, we used to come in, and this is right after I got saved. I was a brand new Christian, man. You talk about, you think I'm rough now? You should have seen me when I first got saved. See, I used to go to the bars and fist fight and climb across the top of people's heads. My wife don't even know this stuff because I was in the military overseas going to all them pubs and bars and getting tanked up and fist fighting and getting thrown out of them. Oh, yeah, I can testify. I ain't proud of none of that. But when I met God and everything changed, it was too much of a fix for most people. No, not for this preacher, amen. But I'm just telling you, those military guys would come in on a Monday. I knew their wife. I knew their kids. Got a little old girl, 6, 7-year-old, at the house. They talk about all their exploits that they had over the weekends with everybody. See, that's what we do, amen, outside of God. But anyhow, holy faith. You better get close to the Lord. You better just keep your eyes on him and let everything else go. It ain't worth it, man. It ain't worth it at the end of the day. And what's amazing, when we get to the end of this thing, everyone always comes back to God. See, ain't that funny how that works, amen? Seems like every time somebody gets in a bad car wreck and they're pinned in, they start saying, oh God. Right. It's always how it works, amen? Right. But no faith. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 20, the Bible says this, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see with what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Now, when you start that chapter 32, verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. So God begins to talk about himself. Verse 4, he is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. That's the Lord. And he goes in and begins to tell them some things here in chapter 32. He tells them all the things he did for them. And yet, here we are, the Lord says, here we are, look at where you're at and what you're doing. Verse 15, but Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, waxed fat. Verse 15 of chapter 32, and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Wow, what a way to describe them. That's most of America. Thou art covered with fatness. I mean, we got most young people. You know we're the most obese nation in the world? That's because you don't make Junior get out and sweat. Give him a push mower. And take the blooming automatic gear off it so he can get pulled behind. Let the Joker push it. Amen. Lord have mercy. I mean, I'm just telling you, the kids, man, they won't sweat. They whine about work. Shut up. You need some calluses. Matter of fact, you need to run your head down the side of an oak tree. We need to rough you up. You'll quit acting like a little glorified baby. Amen. Whatever happened, just let them fight in the backyard. On Friday night, she used to get so mad at me. We'd put mouthpieces in. John, Ben, and Nate, we'd kick and fight each other. Put on 4-ounce gloves. Yeah. Friday night fights at Unger's house. You all were supporting me. We was doing that down in Florida. The boys home. We're Friday night, man. Who needs a TV show? You ask her, we'd push the furniture back. She'd get so aggravated. Say, what? You know, I said, hang on now. We're going to have some fun. We'd put out a long mat, and I can remember Jonathan Round kicked one of them in the eyeball, busted his eye. Nate got his lips busted. It was wonderful, man. Make men out of them, amen. Make them worth something, amen. I don't want no babies, man. Little palm olive hand sissies, amen. Won't do nothing. Anyhow, get on all that, I'll get in trouble, amen. These boys now wearing your little skinny jeans. Your little tornado jeans. Y'all wicked as hell, man. If my stepdad, Bob Border, saw me in those, he'd rip them off of me in public, amen. My daddy-in-law would have ripped them off of me in public. Ted Bennett said, amen. He didn't dress like that. How come it was okay? He was against it, now we're okay with it. We're changing. Somebody's been listening to the sirens from hell, amen. Getting you to do stuff you know ain't right. That's why you got to have armed guards at the schools now with AK-47s or M4 carbines. Why is that? Yeah. What has happened? It wasn't like that when I was here. Messed up, man. Big time messed up. Kids letting them have everything. You know, you need to tell them to shut up and warm their britches up. And listen, I better stop. I'm going to get in so much trouble. Okay, I'll move on. I just had something go through my head, and I'm not going to say it, amen. My wife will cringe and say, you're going to get in trouble. Well, I'm going to say it. Diapers are armor. Y'all, you parents that got little ones, don't come tell us they can't be trained. Them kids didn't tell her what to do. She told them what to do. She used to go to Walmart. I'll never forget it. And she'd have them hold on to the cart. We didn't leave them with somebody. We took them with us everywhere we went. And they would go down the aisle on each side of the cart hanging on. She said, you better not let go of the cart. You're going to get it when you get to the house. People would say, man, what did you do to them? Well, I tell you this, they didn't pop out that way. Because this is related to me. And my middle name's Rebellion. And so it took a whole lot of training and a whole lot of discipline, not abuse. Come on, common sense. You know what's abuse? Just turn them loose all day and not know where they're at. How come they don't talk about that? Don't spend no time with them. Don't look them in the eye. The average dad, current statistic, the average dad in America spends 3 minutes a day looking at his son in the eye and talking to him. And you wonder why they're a train wreck. Yeah, anyhow, we're talking about holy faith. No faith, number one. Here's children in whom is no faith. And God said in verse 15, they forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy, verse 16, with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods. There's new gods popping up every day in America. That came newly up, whom your fathers feared not.
See, them false gods don't produce a holy fear. So you can live like a wild man and it doesn't bother you. Amen. It says, of the rock that begat thee, verse 18, thou art unmindful. You mean we can get like that where we're not mindful of what the Lord thinks? Sure we can. Very easily if you're not careful. And hast forgotten. See, American culture produces that. They produce a, and it's a good thing, but if you're not careful, it produces a rugged individual in you, and it makes you very independent, which I'm for independence. But you need dependence on God. And people get that thing messed up, and the next thing you know, they're rolling through their day and don't even consider what the Lord thinks about what's going on. Amen. And it's just not going to be good for you at the end of the day. It's going to cost you. It's going to make you have a hard life. It's not worth it. The way of a transgressor is hard. Transgression is just breaking the law. It's sin. Saved man can be a transgressor. It's going to be hard for you, young person, young lady. You fight mom and dad on everything that's going on. You're crazy. They brought you into this world. You ought to thank God you got a mom and dad that cares about you. And listen, if I could do it all over, I mean, listen, I wasn't raised. My mom did the best she could. We didn't know the Lord. But now on the other side of this thing, there's a whole lot of heartache. I could have saved my mom if I'd have had some of that stuff coming up. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's just so different than what it used to be. Our grandmas and grandpas know what I'm talking about. It was different back in those days. Amen. No faith. What produces that condition? Well, I told you the Lord mentioned there in this chapter, the word abhorred shows up. You know what that means? To hate extremely or with contempt, to loathe, detest, or abominate, to cast off, to reject. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. Here's a real good synopsis of where we're at in America and where this thing's headed. People are full of a lot of things, but it's not God. We're so full, we've pushed the Lord out. We ain't got time for him. And listen, if you just tithe 10% of your day, that's 2 hours, 2.4 hours a day. I mean, I don't even do that. Let's just be real today. We get so wound up chasing the American dream, and I'm for all that. I'm with it. I get it. It's got its place. But I'm telling you, it's going to be a rough road to hoe. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. People just stuff full. I think the biggest sin in America, one of the top five, is just stuff. They're drunk on stuff. Colossians chapter 1 deals with that. Chapter 3, verse 1. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And people get their hearts and minds so wrapped up in this nasty now and now, they lose sight of what really matters. Amen. And you're making preparations for down the road, amen? And listen, it's really this simple. Being saved is a love affair with Jesus Christ. That's really all it is. It's you falling in love with the Lord when you get saved. It begins a lifelong relationship that you cultivate. I'm married to my wife. We have to communicate. In order for this thing to be run smooth and just to run normal, amen, let alone we want the icing on the cake, you got to work at it. We have to spend time together. We have to stay on the same page, amen. If we don't talk, things are going to go sideways because there's young'uns in the house and they're flush just like I am. Well, Mom, can I do this? When they know Dad said no 4 hours earlier and I wasn't around when they asked Mom. Go ahead and say amen. Amen. Especially you younger ones. You're masters at pitting Mom and Dad against each other. So what we did when they were teeny tiny, they'll tell you, we'd sit down and make sure we was on the same page and compare notes. So when I walked out of the house, when she left, I wanted to honor Mom's house rules because they're going to come to me and try it out. Amen. Thinking that I really don't know what's going on. And that happens a lot. And so they'd run this thing sideways. Then they'd get back. She'd say, why'd you let them do that? I said they had to take care of this, this, and this first. Well, see, they didn't tell me. So now it's going to cost them. Amen. So... But anyhow, we're talking about no faith. I told you to go over to look at Proverbs chapter 30, and I'll get there. This scripture here, chapter 30, and here's a man. He's mentioned one time in the Bible right here. Look what God says about this guy. Proverbs chapter 30, and we'll start at verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Well, that takes care of that stuff we talked about in Sunday school. Look at verse 7. Now, this man's name, if you go back to verse 1, his name's Agur, if I'm pronouncing that right, the son of Jacob. And he goes down through here, verse 2. He talks about himself, surely I am more brutish than any man.
and I have not the understanding. So this man's being real. He's being honest before God. I neither learn wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. Then he says this, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Then he mentions the Bible. Then in verse 7 he says this, what a testimony. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Just two things he's looking for. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Why? The man just wanted to live a good, clean life, have what he needed, the necessity of life, a few extras maybe on top, lest I be full. Here it comes. And deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. That is the Christian life in a nutshell. Here's a man, a girl, nobody knows who he is, where he came from, or where he went. But I know this, he was a humble man, didn't claim to know a whole lot, but he had a whole lot of sense. And all he asked of God was to have the things required. Just, hey, with food and raiment, therewith be content. It's hard to mess up a contented man. Amen? And I'll tell you where your contentment comes from, is from this book and being thankful for where God has you. But here in Israel, they had no faith. And you say, how'd they get there? Weren't content. They questioned God. You can read that whole chapter. He told them they forgot God. They were unmindful. They had new gods. They were around devils, abominations, strange gods. They lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation, on and on and on. And they said they forsook God in the first part of the chapter. I mean, I'm telling you, all this from having no faith. They shelved it. And listen, look if you will at Titus chapter 1. Last two verses in Titus chapter 1. I'm talking about no faith. I don't know where you're at this morning. Some of you here might not know God at all. If that's the fact of the matter, you ought to be concerned with where you're headed when you die, eternity. And I was telling the young people in Sunday school, all you got to do, you don't need a Bible to prove there's a God. All you got to do is look at who everybody sings about in our country or in the world. Look at who everybody cusses. Every foreign nation cusses the God of the Bible when they smash their finger or when they get upset and blow their temper. They don't cuss Confucius. They don't cuss Muhammad. They don't cuss Buddha. Come on now, stay with me. Y'all are getting quiet on me. You don't need 27 verses to prove there's a God. All you got to do is open your eyes and ears. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. That's proof right there. There's a God, the creation. I ain't got time to talk to you about the fact that your great-great-granddaddy was not a monkey. That's a religion. Evolution's a religion. And it takes a lot more faith to believe you dropped a tail and dropped your wings and your feathers and plucked them, and here you are a few days later, and you're a walking normal man. You gotta smoke some real good joints to believe that junk, amen? I gotta be careful. I'm starting to talk the way I do to the kids in jail because they understand that language. It's where they come from, and I got young ones here. But listen, people, I'm telling you, it's a mess. We're living in a day, this thing of no faith. God's people. God's people! What is wrong with us? The book's the same. The Holy Ghost is the same. Same God, same Bible. You mean, what happened? Don't you remember the day God saved you in the mire and the muck he took you out of? Yeah. And here we are sitting. I'm 28 years into this. Yes, I mean, it's a wonderful journey. I'd take nothing for my journey now, young men. Ain't nothing like being saved by the grace of God and knowing it. Amen. 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 There's nothing like having peace down inside no matter what happens. We're going to sail on down the road. Yeah. When I got arrested in 2010, they offered four deals. Number one, I didn't do anything wrong as far as what they was saying. I didn't break the Florida statutes, federal or state or otherwise, amen. Amen. I ran the home. I knew what went on there. Amen. And I don't care what the preachers all said. A bunch of them in this country accused us of all kinds of stuff. Not one of them ever talked to me or called me or come and looked me face to face like a man does. Amen. Bunch of stinking cowards is what they are. Amen. Amen. None of them did that. They all had an opinion. The only problem was I'm the one that was living there, so I know what went on, along with the other witnesses. The problem was they hate God, and they hate the fact that we were turning kids out that instead of going to jail, hell, jail, and prison, they was having families and raising kids and talking in the right mind, amen, and putting their clothes back on. It ticked them off because their programs weren't working. I ain't going to get into all that stuff, but listen, they offered me 4 deals trying to get me to sign off the misdemeanors. No. I said, no, I ain't doing it. From day one, I can't explain it. It was the other guys that got in trouble were on a different, they handled it different. It did not faze me a bit. I wasn't arrogant about it. I said, no, I ain't got nothing to sign. I know in whom I believe. I know what I've done. And if God wants me to go to jail, bye. It's principle, man. I'm not apologizing for that book. I'm not apologizing for what we've been doing for the last 18 years. If you're looking for that, you better go grow somebody that you can clone up and make them talk that way, because I'm not. So I told the DA, bye. Yeah. The Lord got so mad at me, he said, shut your mouth. Shut up, don't talk. You say too much. I said, I got a whole lot more to say. I'm just getting started. When I was in my depositions for the civil suit, the lawyer that was going up against it, he was as mean as a snake. That guy was a nasty critter. I wanted to take him out and back, just little elbow to the side of his head, man. You don't know. I know it's not Christian. I'm being real with you. See, most preachers, they want to do it too. They just don't tell you. So I'll take the fall. That guy sat across the table and he mocked. He said, you got 7 kids? What is wrong with you? Well, the lawyer sitting next to me, she kicked me under the table. And that's my cue. Don't you say nothing. I said, oh, no. I said, what's wrong with me? I got a lovely wife that I love to chase. What do you think of that? That's what I told him. He looked at me. I said, yeah. You obviously, do you even have a wife? My lawyer, boom, kicks me again. I'm talking to the man. That critter was so ugly, the dog wouldn't come around him, amen. I let him have it, man. I let him have it. I did. They got so aggravated at me, and to the point where I had to end up sitting outside. They wouldn't let me sit in there, but I'm sorry. I'm a preacher. It's in me. I'm not going to have this man blast God, and that's what they're trying to do. He's trying to get me aggravated and upset. I know the game they play, but they don't want to play with me. I'm a different critter than most of them, amen, because I just don't care. And so when you're like that, you know, it's kind of like the bombers across seas that blow themselves up. They got nothing to lose, and that's kind of how I'm geared. But anyhow, it is what it is, but this faith that God put in me, I'm not apologizing for it. Amen. So you got this thing of no faith. Number two, I'd like to say this. Look at Matthew chapter 6. There's a thing in this Bible called little faith. Little faith. Jesus Christ mentions it over here. If you're in that category of no faith, you need to hit this altar today and confess it before God and tell him you're sorry for not believing his book and not trusting with your whole entire life. Amen. You know, Paul told him while you're turning over there to Matthew chapter 6, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is it in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also, here it comes, in you that believe. You want the book to work in your life, you've got to believe what you're reading. You don't come to the book and read something and say, well, how does that fit with where I'm at in life? No, you read this book and you let it fit you. It's supposed to change you. Not you bend your that book to match your situation and try to pull half a verse here, one there, one. You know what you're doing, amen. Everybody here knows when we pull that stunt with God and try to find a way around something. Most of the time we say we need to pray about something, it's an excuse to buy more time so you can go on down the road and hope God forgets all about it, amen. That's all it is an excuse. We already know what we're supposed to be doing. You don't need 15 verses to tell you what to do. You already got a Holy Ghost of God living in you that tells you. And he bears witness with your spirit. You know where you're at. Know what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. So here's little faith. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. The Lord says, O ye of little faith. Now what's he talking about right here? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, the book says, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, that's a true statement right now. 100 degrees outside, you could burn the yard up with a match. It's so hot out. Now I'm telling you, I thank God for air conditioning. I ran across a missionary. We was in a missions conference a little long while back, and he was talking about how Americans need to, and I get what he's saying, you know, so don't misunderstand me, but I just broke the mold when it comes to being a missionary. I'm real sorry about that, but I just don't fit there. He's talking about how you know, we need to turn our air up and suffer a little bit because, you know, they don't have air and so and so. I said, well, hey, brother, God bless you. You're called to Zimbabwe. Go have fun, man. I'll pray for you. I'm for it. But I'm in America. And my AC is going to be on 68. This is my field that God called me to. And I'm sorry that we're the envy of the world. But I'm turning my air on. If that hair lips the boogeyman, I don't care. I mean, what is that? We go to Honduras. They just went. I go down there. It's 130 degrees in their summertime. There is no AC. There's no running water. We take showers in black mold. I got stuff growing on my feet that I picked up from Honduras that won't go away. Gasoline don't help it. Nothing. I'm serious. I got some kind of fungus I picked up from down at Brother Ronnie Dawes helping those orphanage kids. I go there tomorrow and never come home. I love those kids. I mean, those kids, they fight over a cardboard truck, a picture of a truck. They got nothing. But they are the happiest people on planet Earth. They got God. And I'm telling you, man. So I've been in the heat. And we put up with it and live with it and sweat while you're showering. Amen. I mean, it's the way it is. But while I'm in America, I'm jacking the AC down.
Amen.
That's just the way it's going to be. Amen. I'm sorry about that. Have a cup of coffee with cream on it and everything else that we want to do that's right before the Lord. I'm not going to become, you go do what you're supposed to do, for be all things for all men, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do here. Amen. God bless you, sir. So I try not to make enemies, but anyhow, I thought it was good for him. It was good for him. It checked him a little bit. Help him go think about what he's saying, amen. But I don't know how I get on all this stuff. I got to shut up. There's another guy. Some preachers preach that you shouldn't join the military because it's ungodly, it's wicked, all this stuff. Now, hang on. I said, Sir Daniel, he preached. I waited till afterwards. I said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? Because I was former military. I love the military. It's not for everybody. But if God comes along and puts his hand on this young man and says, son, I want you to join the military. It's a mission field. It can be done, and you can live clean, godly, and right, no matter where he puts you. You're too late. I already did it. You're talking to the wrong preacher. It's been done. Men are doing it. But it must be the will of God. I believe it's a call. I'll take it that far. But if God, somebody needs to preach to him. I mean, we got you folks come here 3 times a week in extra special meetings, and you're fighting to battle God. And you got everything given to you. So who are we thinking we are, man? I mean, I done did it. I got saved in Keflavik, in the backside of nowhere, the rock. Ain't that something? I got saved on the rock by the rock. Pretty neat stuff, amen. But you can live for God in the military if you want to. Daniel did it, got taken from his parents. I don't know how old he was, probably a teenager. You see him whining and sucking his thumb? No. He lived for God. We got a young man in our church right now, Tim Redd. His dad was a 28-year Army man, just tough as nails, drill instructor. Tim went off, and some of the folks at our church, it was a division. You know, some of the kids like, he ain't right with God. And some of them, yeah, he is. And what do we find about the man prayed, the man fasted, the man said that's what God wanted him to do. Go get behind him and encourage him. Shut your mouth. And then now that he's over there, twice a week, he calls her his second mother. He calls us FaceTime 2 or 3 times a week. We try to encourage him. You reading your Bible? How you doing, Tim? He's doing okay. But everybody that complained ain't called him one time. Which shows me how much you really care about him. You just wanted to say your little piece at church, I guess, to make you feel good. I don't know. But when the push comes to shove, he's gone now, out of sight, out of mind. Who cares about Tim? He's dead and gone, you know. I know how a thing works. Folks are crazy, man. Anyhow, he says here in chapter 6, wherefore, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's us, if you're not a Jew sitting here. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He already knows this stuff. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's the key to the whole thing. And his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Then he goes on further and talks about the hairs of your head. If one head, you go down through there. I mean, God knows if a sparrow falls to the ground, he knows about it. Amen. Either does or he don't, or he's a liar. I think he does. fact, I know he does. I mean, you read over in the Old Testament that the axe head, that young preacher borrowed an axe, he's swinging it, it flies off in the water. The book says it swam. All you new Bibles say it floated to the shore. They got a no faith problem. You got a bunch of doctors, PhDs, you know, piled high and deep. You know, BA, batch of apples, that's your 4-year degree. Now don't, you're going to throw me under the bus. MA, more apples, and PhD, piled high and deep. You got guys going to school for 10 years that come out dumber than a kindergartner that can pick up the Bible and read it on a 6th grade English level and believe what God said. God bless you. Amen. I'm not against education, but education without salvation brings damnation. And a lot of these folks, you ain't smarter than God, but the axe head floated. That's just, we're talking about faith this morning. Believe in what you read. It'll change your life forever. I mean, when you read this book, it's alive, it's breathing. Amen. But God said, here, this group of people, they had little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. That's what he told them. So, you say, and you know what that deals with there? Control over our daily lives. See, we know there's a God, and we believe we say he's around, but the Lord, I got this thing. I'll take care of myself. I appreciate your help, but I got this. If I need you, I'll let you know. That's not how it's supposed to work. The Lord's supposed to have preeminence. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Well, we just talked about in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, it talked about new gods that newly came up, and they produced no fear of God. Well, here Jesus Christ in the New Testament tells them when he dogs them out about having little faith. They got some, but it's little. He talks there, they were fearful. What's the context there? Ain't they in the boat there? The Lord goes to sleep. I think that's what's going on here. Yeah, look at chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26. Yeah, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled. Now, these are his preacher boys right there with him. The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and they still didn't get it. If God wanted to, you know, if the Lord wanted to sink that boat, he could have turned it into a submarine before they sucked in the first bit of water. You say, you're crazy. No, that's the book. It's alive. That book's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, that book. He's called the living Word of God. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only God and the Father, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. There's your creation. That's that book. It's true. It's right. It's real. And it'll change your life. It's way deeper than John 3:16, man. You've got to go way past that. Do you know what I know about John 3:16? The love of God's at Calvary. It's what it says in that book. The last verse, 36, says, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The love of God's at Calvary. You get outside of Calvary, honey, it's over there in Isaiah. Hell moveth herself aright to meet thee at thy coming. You're a walking dead man outside of Jesus Christ. You're just waiting to check out and drop into hell. That book's real. It's not just a book with no pictures in it. It's real. It's God's book. It's a holy book. And it produces great faith, which is what I'm fixing to close with. We had a group that had no faith. We had a group that's got little faith. And I ain't got time here, but this has got to do with being fearful. You know, there'll be things in life that you get into that you're going to have some fear creep up, but you need to rest on back into God's arms and let him have it. I know it's tough to do, but you got to do it. I mean, me and him got to jump out of airplanes. I know it's crazy. I love it. And I love it, man. I'd do it every day if I had to get away with it. But I'm not afraid of heights. And we're at 16,000 feet, and there's clouds below us. And, you know, instructor looks at you and says, now, it's a go, right? Yes, sir. I mean, ain't nothing to talk about. He didn't have to push me out. I duck walked up there, and when they say go, I'm gone. There is nothing like it, the thrill. Now, I do want the chute to open. But if it don't, I'm not going to feel it when I hit the ground at 120 miles an hour anyhow. See, I'm way past all that. I considered the cost before I ever got in the airplane. If you're going to have to consider it, you don't need to be jumping. Amen. You got to get way past that. It's the same principle with God. This book is true and right. You got to get way past that. You just got to, like an old two-cylinder John Deere, them old 730s, that pop, 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 pop. You just got to go down the road and just trust God. Let him have it. You say, well, I don't get it. You don't have to get it. Just get God and let him have it. Amen. Say, I don't like it. I don't like it either, but get over it. Life ain't fair. I'll give you self-esteem 101. You're sorry, you're low down, you're rotten, and you need to get right with God. Amen. We keep telling you all you're good all the time. You're going to wake up thinking you're good. And God said there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen. And then you'll wake up when you fail and fail some test or something. You'll go out and blow your brains out because everybody told you how great you were. No, our greatness put Jesus Christ on the cross. Yes. Our greatness ripped his beard out, spit in his face, kicked him in the face. You name it, we did it. Yes. Our greatness cusses God day in and day out. Yes. Blasphemes God. And acts like he ain't around and treads over and runs over everything he ever put in place. Amen. That's what man's greatness has done to God. Amen. Talking about a holy book, a holy faith. Amen. And you ought to have more than just a little. You ought to build on that thing and let God commend you about having great faith before this thing's over with. He tells Peter, O thou of little faith, Matthew 14:31. That had to do with darkness. A lot of people are afraid of the dark. I get it. But you know what? Great pictures are developed in the dark. Some of the greatest times in me and that woman's life were the darkest days in her life. When she got in a van and headed north, away from our nice friends down south, when everything fell apart, she told me it was like God was sitting on the dash of the car. She said it was unbelievable. She said it was just like God was right there. I got this. Just listen to me. You're going to be just fine. Your husband will be fine. Kids are going to be fine. Am I telling it right? Amen. That just don't happen, Stance. That's called normal living for God when the bottom falls out. Because life ain't fair. I ought to probably been thrown in prison, to be flat honest. Every one of us deserves that. So I count it a real privilege that it didn't happen. Amen. And so, I mean, you know, Lord's been good to this old boy. Amen. Way better than I deserve. I promise you that. But you know, dark times, it happened there in verse chapter 14 in the fourth watch of the night. And Peter, they got scared. You got to trust the Lord, man. He told me I had little faith. Oh, you have little faith. I mean, you know, everybody got on to Peter because he sunk. You didn't get out of the boat. Peter's my favorite apostle. He had a bad attitude. Had to get right with God. He had a temper. He preached a lick. He got mad. He's out there. He got in trouble with folks out there warming his hands around the fire. But man, he was real. Peter didn't make excuses when he messed up. He got right with God. Amen. He was a great repenter, if I could get away with saying that. And by the way, repentance ain't a cuss word. It's starting to be in our churches. Amen. Folks starting to teach all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, it's works. Oh, come on, man. Please, please don't talk to me. When you get an education, you get some sense about you, come back and talk to me. I ain't talking to someone that dumb. That's dumb, man. God have mercy. I mean, the book's so plain. I just don't get it. Some of the stuff that goes on today drives this preacher crazy. That's why I like the prisoners. They're right up my alley. I'm serious. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love hearing the door go. It don't bother me. I mean, it's like switching your hat around. I when they go with me, I tell them, I'm not trying to be rude. My son will tell you, I'm in another zone. I pray, get prepped and ready. I teach, every preaching engagement is an appointed divine time for me. And when I go in those places, I mean, I'm in my mode. I'm after somebody. I want to do exactly what God tells me to do, and I'm throwing it all in, plus nothing, minus nothing. If I have a heart attack in there, that'd be wonderful. If I drop dead and they have to carry me out, great. I died doing what I wanted to do. Amen. And I'm not fearful that. I enjoy that. Amen. I love trying to help folks and give them the truth. And those prisoners, man, they'll get up on the pews. There'll be 120 of them. They'll be waving their Bible, standing up, just screaming and hollering while I'm preaching. Ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. You can't get most churches to give a holy grunt. But now they'll grunt about the NASCAR or football. You know, football's starting next month. Don't come down south. It's a religion. Alabama football, they'll fight you in a restaurant over it. And I'm not exaggerating. They're way messed up. Big time. I love it, but I ain't like that. Are you kidding me? Get over it. Alabama got spanked last year. Whoop-dee deal. Life went on. The people get really upset about that stuff, man. They'll fight you over that stuff, but then they'll let everything else, you know, go to, you know, where in a handbasket, amen, to Hades. I don't get it. People are messed up today. Got no faith in God. That's the problem. But anyhow, last of all, I want to close with this. Well, I'll read you this. Do you know what you believe and why? This thing of your faith, your most holy faith that you're to build up. And it says in the next verse, when we started out, you're to keep yourself in the love of God. Keep implies you got to protect it, you got to guard it, you got to work at it. God saves you, that's free. But your Christian life's going to cost you. And the story you're writing, the book you're producing, how thick or thin, how deep the content, is up to you. You get that? It's totally up to you. And how much you submit to the Lord from a day-to-day basis is how deep that thing's going to get. And how much you'll do for the Lord. I mean, it seems like nobody wants to preach anymore. Nobody wants to go to the mission field unless they got it all figured out ahead of time, you know. What is wrong with us? I think it's a privilege to preach, amen. I love it, enjoy it. It's the highest call on this planet, amen. Wouldn't trade it for anything, amen. And I'm not changing who I am. I think you need your hide blowed off. Amen. You don't need to. We need it constantly. You just need me to light a fire and burn your hide completely off your backside, amen. It'll help you, amen. I mean, the world says no pain, no gain. Well, they're telling it right. You got to break that muscle down to get it to build up and get stronger. It don't come free. It costs you. The military, they work at it day in and day out, repetition over and over. Why? So they can hit the mark. Delta Force shoots 50,000 rounds, they used to, a month from 45. Why? That way they can walk by, pop, pop. There went two bullets right through that guy's forehead. That's how they live.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They believe what they're doing. How come God's people can't be like that? We got to whine and fuss and kick. You know, I don't like that. How come I can't do that? Wah, wah, wah. Get over it, man. Take a half a baby aspirin and shut your mouth. Amen. Quit your whining. Amen. Cannot stand whiners, man. I didn't get none. I know I didn't want you having any. Amen. I don't like you. Leave me alone. Amen. Get over it, man. There's a lot of folks that don't like me. Ask my wife if I cry about it. No, I don't care. I get it. I'm not a likable guy. You think I care? No. Zero. The Lord loves me, thank God. And that's why He's God, because He wouldn't love me if He wasn't God. Amen. And my wife loves me. And that I don't know why, but I'm thankful. I'm very, very thankful. Nothing like being married. Amen. Being saved, being married, best two things you ever do in this life. The institution of marriage is a wonderful institution. I don't care if they are trying to mess it up. Bunch of nuts, amen. Bunch of nuts. It's an insane asylum run by the inmates, amen. It's crazy stuff. I got to close. It's time to close. It's 5 to 12. I know Baptists like to eat too much, amen. I just lost. I'm not picking on nobody. I was 222 pounds 3 months ago. See, y'all ain't seen me for a while. And I'm glad I lost my weight before I came back up here. My mother, I'm almost done, bear with me. My mother, I lost 38 pounds. I'm 189 now. I haven't weighed that in a long time. And I do feel good. I can scrap a little more now that I don't gas out as quick. But I will be 50 this year. So you've lost 40. So it's wonderful.
Amen.
But I love to eat. Who don't? I mean, today I could take a box of Oreos. No cup, a gallon of milk. A drunkard on cookies and milk. Y'all are laughing. I love to eat. So it has been, I've finally gotten a groove to watch my portions and watch the carbs, and the weight came off. But I'm telling you, man, I don't know where I was going with that. I had a reason for what I said. I'm getting old. It done flew out of my head. I don't know. Probably shouldn't have said it. But we're talking about, we're going to close with great faith. I don't know what I was talking about, weight and stuff. Well, maybe to come back, who knows. But listen, let me close with this. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're talking about having faith before the Lord. And Jude talked about building up your most holy faith. It is holy. It should mean a whole lot to you. Just like that virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says her price is far above rubies. Okay, and I've got one. And she's paid the price for it. Amen. God saved her, and then she's strived to be that woman that God wants her to be. And I'm so thankful. Her daughters, I know they realize that they've got a wonderful example. Amen. And I did want five girls, but I'm glad I only got two. They always say, you got to throw that in there, Dad. Yeah, I do. Because girls, they whine and they fuss. And, oh, my goodness. The boys just kill each other. We scrub them up, clean them up, and away we go. They apologize and we start over. The girls are a different bird, amen. So I'm glad that the Lord said, dummy, I'm not answering that prayer. You're getting five boys and two girls. He flipped it on me. Because we did want seven children. We planned that. We did. None of them was an accident. We wanted every one of them the way. They come a little bit far apart, them last four. I really got two families. There's 4 years between Kelsey and Jonathan. And then John, Ben, May, and Grace are all real close together. And it's been neat. Mark's got married now. It changed the house. We've gotten used to it. You don't think it'd make a big deal, but it does. It changes everything. But it's for the good, man. We enjoy them. It's been a blast. I never thought I'd get to the point where I got to marry off one of my kids, you know, and raising them and trying to teach them right and stuff. And to be able to partake of that's wonderful. I've seen everybody else do it. We've got to do it once now. And I really am thankful for it. Amen. But I've told them they better raise their kids right or I'm coming after them. I'm not raising my grandkids. You hear me? I'm too old. I got no patience. And it's getting worse. You understand? I hurt. Every joint on my body hurts all day long. I am not raising my stinking grandkids. Hats off to you that did it. I can't do it. I ain't got it in me. And I don't claim to have it in me. I'm expended. Amen? And so I'm done. So they better do it right or I'm so help me God, I'm going to shoot them. Amen. I'm not doing it. Amen. Anyhow, I know they'll do well. But that's the real test of how I've done is how they're going to do with their kids. When their little young'uns are running around at 5 and 6 and how they're doing, and see if they come up and say, or what? I got to shut up. I get in so much trouble. What? Excuse me? My name ain't what? Huh, you know, how come? Why are we going to do that? Because I told you to. That's why. Amen. Y'all to obey the right way with a good attitude. That's the way you should be in this country. When my grandma was a little girl, they didn't get to ask twice. They didn't get told twice either. They got the stew knocked out of them when they didn't listen the first time. Right away with a good attitude. It can be done. Amen. You kids will look at me like, he needs to go. Amen. I'm trying to help your parents out, amen, so they can go home and dog you out this afternoon. It'd do this preacher great good, amen. I had to go through it, so you should too. I don't want you missing out on a licking, amen. I mean, hey, it ain't fair, you know. Okay, but great faith. He says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10, and here's old lady mentioned. And we'll start in verse 5 to get the context, chapter 8. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Now here's a centurion. This is a Roman. Now, they crucified the Lord. Look what it says here. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, he calls him Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. There's the living word of God, fixing to speak the word of God. Book says, for man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And my servant shall be healed. And then he goes into a little deal. For I am a man under authority. Right, underline that in your Bibles, authority, kids. God gave you authorities in your life. Having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. So I guess it's okay to follow orders. This guy's doing it. And to my servant doeth this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. I'm talking about the creator of the universe. It stopped him in his tracks, and he marveled. He looked at that man and said, look what he says. and marveled. It's only two times it happens in the Bible. And said to them that followed. He turns around and tells everybody, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not. And you say, what's the big deal about what that man said? Well, it really ain't a big deal. But the big deal is that guy simply got it. Not only was he a soldier following orders and doing what he's told and just carrying out what he was told to do day to day, he followed protocol. He obviously had heard about God going around preaching. He had to have. He called him Lord. And I believe personally he's the same centurion at the cross later and says, truly, this man was the Son of God. It's just ungrology. But that man simply told God. He obviously had a great faith. He didn't need God to come to his side. He said, just say it and it'll happen right now in real time. That's how God wants you to live. That's a centurion, a Roman soldier that God said had great faith. So where are we at this morning? I mean, it's something else. The word beseech, the book says he was beseeching the Lord. It means to entreat, to seek, to inquire, to follow close, to press. That man was on a mission, and he simply believed God at his word. He didn't even have a copy of the Bible, but he had the one breathing and living that could speak it. And he said, just say it, and it'll be done. And lo and behold, it got recorded. Little did he know that. He'll know it one day if he don't already. And so God marveled at that. He's got the right attitude towards authority. He simply believed God at his word. Didn't question anything God had to say. And I've done told you now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Young people, there's a whole lot of things in life that you're not going to put your hands on. But the sooner you realize, all of us as a matter of fact, the sooner you realize that God's got it figured out, he's got a plan for each one of you, he got the book he wrote for you to follow, and if you'll just rest in his arms and let him have his way, you'll be a happy camper. Even in the rough times, you'll be happy. Why? Because you know in whom you have believed, and you know that you don't make a mistake, and so whatever bumps you're going through, you're supposed to be there to learn something. You dung a fruit tree, it stinks. Manure? You go by these fields and they manure them. They're awful with the breeze from it. But guess what? It produces great fruit. You prune a tree, you got to cut it, trim it in the fall, trim a rose bush, cut it down. Guess what happens in the spring? Pruning ain't no fun, but it's what makes you who you are. And I'm telling you, a brother's born for adversity. You need it. That sandpaper's good for you. Shave off the rough edges. I got to close. Last of all, I promise you, I want to say this. Go, if you will, to chapter 15. Come. The only other place it shows up where God gets marveled at what's going on. I love this example here. This is an elderly lady over here. Look at this right here. I believe she's an older lady. Chapter 15 of Matthew. We're talking about great faith. It's not mystical. It's not hard to have. But it takes a whole lot of sacrifice, and most folks aren't willing to do it. There's not a special antidote. It's just you getting up, and I don't know how to make it the flip the switch to get you to understand. As simple as turn on a light, but this book is God's book. This book. See, I came from a broken home. I don't know how to. You ones that's been raised in church your whole life, I almost sometimes think I don't get it. I mean, I got saved from a whole lot, but I don't know how to say it. When I got saved and God moved in, and I began to read this book, it just became a part of who I am from early on. And I mean, I don't know. I just know this is God's book, and we just got to roll with it, amen. And look at chapter 15. Start reading in verse 22. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, now this happened in public. She's not worried about what people think. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. So she's got some real problems with her young at the house. And I've heard a lot of parents cry to us when we had that boys home. I mean, just break down and bawl over their kids. And he answered, now look at this. I want you to let this sink in. Most Americans wouldn't take this right here. But he answered, because of our American culture, it's made us very pride and arrogant. But he answered her not a word. Now, we don't know yet that this is in public, but up to this point, the Lord don't even acknowledge her. And the woman's crying. And she's in a bad deal, a bad fix. And his disciples came, and look what the preachers did. This is unbelievable. And besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, get rid of this woman. She's an embarrassment. I'm paraphrasing. But he answered and said, he's not done yet with her. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, now he's referencing the Jews, which are the apple of God's eye. They are. They're a notch above us. I hate to break the news to us, a bunch of Gentiles. But that's God's chosen people. But what's a real shame is America chose God. God chose Israel. We chose God. Look what we've done. But look what happens here. He tells her, I mean, that's the second rebuke. Then, after she gets ignored, then he tells her, I'm not even sent to you. Forget you. Then came she and worshiped him. This kind of faith is unbelievable. It looks past all the uncomfortableness, all the things that don't go our way, or a situation we get into where it's embarrassing. She's past all that. This woman's focused on where she needs to be. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. Now he's called her a dog. Is that fair to say? I mean, this thing's going from bad to worse. But this woman loves God. She's not concerned with what people think about her, who her status is in life. Well, you can't call me that. You know, people get so wrapped up over names. It's crazy, man. They kill each other over that stuff. It's just stupid. She said truth. She doesn't buck him. She agrees. She says truth. Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, not just woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, young people, I'm just telling you, that woman, boy, if you can ever live right there and practice it, striving to be there with all of life, you will be a modern-day Daniel. And Daniel's no different than any of us. But it's amazing to me. She receives, here's what I wrote down after reading that and thinking about it. She receives preaching from the greatest preacher that ever walked on the earth, and she don't get offended. Y'all listening? You going to get mad at your preacher for telling you the truth? Well, you want him to lie to you? You want Brother Jerry to get up here and let things go? You know, he don't have to come to your house and find out what you're watching, listening, or doing, or how you're acting. If he's any kind of man of God at all, got to tell him. He'll tell him everything in great detail. Amen. And I know it's so. And so you better thank God. You don't want what I'm embarking on across this country. People that won't preach anymore, they won't tell nobody nothing, they let everybody be happy, don't make nobody upset, don't rock the boat, you're going to upset so-and-so, don't say this, don't touch that. Yeah. Well, then why am I coming to church? Yeah. We can go to a ball game and get the same feeling out of all that by hooping and hollering and shouting and carrying on and throwing popcorn and kicking it up. Yeah. That's not why I come to church. Although I'm a very loud individual, I shout amen, I get buck wild, I run the aisles, you better believe it. Amen. Because I'm happy about what God did for me. But I'm telling you, he's real, young people. His book is real. And this great faith that this woman ran into, you know what it says in Proverbs 27:5? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Psalms 141 verse 5, David said, let the righteous smite me. It shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. There's your preacher. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. The reason we get upset, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear, 1 Timothy 5:20. I wrote this, take it or leave it. The mark of great faith is being able to take, receive, and follow through on rebuke and correction from God's holy word. Called old time Holy Ghost conviction. Conviction should be your companion. And the book says the Holy Ghost came to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Amen. And so I say unto you this morning, You might be here and have no faith at all. That's a sad state to be in. Or you may have little faith, but there may be probably a few of you here that's got some great faith. I say unto you, young people, it's worth it. Been at it 28 years. I look to go all the way till I drop dead by the grace of God. I'm so thankful to be saved, to know it, to be in the work of the Lord. If you're here and you don't know for sure, if somebody wants to come to the piano, that'd be all right, if that's okay, preacher. If you're here and you don't know beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt that you know the Lord on a personal level, are you really saved?